This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Hey, welcome to Dunedin Multicultural Council live on air, and we are live on air. Yeah, with Peter Kesha. It's good to have you here with our weekly program. I'm filling in for Lux Salvinson, who usually has this spot, but I've got a very special guest in the studio with me today, a good friend of mine, Henny Murray. And we're going to be taken to South Africa. Henny, tell us where you're from and tell us a bit about where you were brought up.
Peter, yes, we've been in New Zealand quite a while, but yes, you can hear I still have that South African accent. I was born in a place called Pretoria, and then we studied in Cape Town, and from there to New Zealand, and we are happy to be here.
And for our listeners, Henny's quite lucky. Him and his wife, Marty, live 6 months in New Zealand here in Dunedin and 6 months in South Africa. How does that go?
Well, Peter, I'm leaving on Friday to Christchurch, and Monday we fly out to South Africa where I will have a wedding. And after that, we will be very close to Kruger National Park. That's where we've got a home. And we're looking forward to the next 6 months.
And what I'm really interested in is the conversation we had earlier on today about where you live. Tell us a bit about the background of the history about where you're from. And
yes, that's very interesting, Peter, because not many people know about this. But yeah, in the 1400s, 1488, there was a man with the name of Henry the Adventurer. And he wanted to get a route to Asia and India from Europe. And the race started between the Portuguese and the British and the Germans. But the first ones were the Portuguese, Bartolomeas Dias, about 1488, stopped in Cape Town, wasn't successful. After him, we have Jan van Riebeeck. Yeah, Jan van Riebeeck, they say, is really the guy that started it all off in 1688. But it's not. It's really the man with the name of Simon van der Stel. He brought the French Revolution winemakers in, and today at Stellenbosch, Franschhoek, some of the best wines in the world. They yeah. were not fair, and these people went over big mountains carrying their os, wagon wheels and things, and the two Transvaal, where there was a man with the name of Paul Kruger. And that's the man I wanted to get to, because Paul Kruger is the one that has this vision to put out game reserves. Today we have the Kruger National Park.
Yeah.
And we live about 40 kilometers from the Orpen Gate. So we when we are there, we try our best to be in the park as much as possible.
Well, that sounds quite vast. Because when I think about South Africa and national parks and that, they're quite massive, aren't they? And they contain, some of the things you were telling me about. Tell us about some of the animals that are in there. And how did they get there? Have they always been there?
Yes, Paul Kruger was a hunter. And so on the border of Mozambique, he had a big piece of land that he made a reserve. And nobody was allowed to hunt there, and it became a national park. But in the last 10 years, maybe a little bit less, they have now opened all the fences from the Kruger Park right up to Hoedspruit, which is a lot of farmers. They open it so because the area really became too small for the elephant. Yeah. And so now they took all the fences off between them and the farmers, and the animals can now go almost right to Hoedspruit where we live. And many nights they will have leopard in town. So they warn people, be careful, the leopard is around.
Yes.
The war dogs have right of way over the road in Hoedspruit, and they will walk through the road as if they owns it, because they were the people. They were there first, you see, so they have the right to walk over the road.
Wow.
We just had a hospital opened in Hoedspruit, and they sent me a little clip where the hot warthog went to inspect. They call it the inspector, all the wards, and then he walked out and go out again. So it's a very interesting place.
It sounds interesting. And so, like I said before, what sort of animals. That's what I'm thinking. Like, well, how many types of animals are in that national park? Because this is where your home is, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. We are very close to Kruger Park. In our backyard, we have kudu. We had a leopard that caught a buck. We have bush buck, we have zebra, we have blue wildebeest in our backyard.
Did you hear that, folks? It's in their backyard.
Yeah. Well, we love it. We sit on the deck and look over the river. We even had three hippos in the river. One died just recently. But in the Kruger National Park is, of course, the Big Five.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to see the Big Five. But there's so many other animals, you know, the antelopes.
I'm going to take you back there. What is the Big Five?
The Big Five is the elephant.
Elephant.
It's the leopard.
Yeah.
It is the, Marty, you will have to help me. Yeah, sorry. It's the elephant and the leopard and the rhino.
Elephant, leopard, rhino.
I'm going a blank now. Elephant, leopard, rhino, buffalo. And the last one is... I'll come back to it.
That's right. Was just That's fine. Yeah.
First time in my life that I have a blank spot.
Well, you're a lot older than me, and I have them all the time, blank spots. So, yeah, because how long have you been living in New Zealand? Like, you live here in Aotearoa, Dunedin.
Yes.
What brought you here to?
We came in 1984.
Wow.
But then when they had this transition of government, they wanted me to come back to do some training. And I went back for about 10 years. And then we came back again. And after that, I went to Solomon Islands and I worked in Australia for 10 years. And when I retired, we came back to Dunedin where we bought a house when our kids were at uni.
Oh,
and
okay.
So this is our retirement. This is where we like to be. We love Dunedin. And it's nice to be here, as I said.
Well, it's nice to have you on our program. I'm going to play a song written by one of our colleagues from the Dunedin Multicultural Council. She's from Zambia, and it's a song she wrote about Aotearoa, which is called Beautiful Aotearoa, and this is by Namakal Nalumango from Zambia.
New Zealandi Nayal Nayende, New Zealandi Nayal Nayende, New Zealandi Nayal Nayende, New Zealandi Nayal Nayende, Aotearoa Sifa Sauna Hamoho, Aotearoa Sifa saluna hamoho. Taha tohoni wakuta, Kaprianga kuya Wellington. Taha tohoni wakuta, Hokianga kuya Pahia. Taha utoikola, Tiararoa kuya Taranaki, New Zealandi yatavisa. Taha tohoni wakuta, Auckland kuya Waiuku, Taha tohoni wakuta, Rotorua kuya Taupo, Taha utoikola, Mangaweka kuya Napier, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza. Taha tohoni wakuta, Picton Stewart Island. Taha tohoni wakuta, Clarence kuya Charleston. Taha utoikola, Kaikoura kuya Greymouth, New Zealandi yatavisa. Taha tohoni wakuta, Akaroa kuya Timaru. Taha tohoni wakuta, Bruce Bay kuya Bluff. Taha utoikola, Dunedin kuya Queenstown, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza, New Zealandi yatavisa, Aotearoa ya makaza. New Zealand, Nayal Nayende. New Zealand, Nayal Nayende. New Zealand, Nayal Nayende. New Zealand, Nayal Nayende. Aotearoa, Sifa Saluna Hammo. Aotearoa, Sifa Saluna Hammo. Aotearoa, Sifa Saluna Hammo. Aotearoa, Sifa Saluna Hammo.
The Dunedin Multicultural Council, we're having our AGM on the 7th of June. I think I broadcasted a couple of weeks ago that we were having it in May, but it got changed. So if you want to be involved in that, you can have a look at our Facebook page, Dunedin Multicultural Council On Air. We have quite a few programs too running monthly. We have our Heart and Soil program, which is at Musselburgh School, which is the first and third Saturday of every month, and on Sundays on the second and fourth week. Yeah. So we have a woman, Sue Novell, that runs that. And also here at Community House, where Otago Access Radio is, we have a chai and chat, which is open to all multicultural women to come together and talk about life and living here in Dunedin. But like I said, I've got a special guest here. Henny Murray from South Africa. Him and his wife also live here in Dunedin, and it's nice to have them on board with our program. So, Henny, tell us a bit more about South Africa. And we were talking about the National Kruger National Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the little break. It gave me a time to think. Of course, it was the elephant, the buffalo, the rhino, and the lino, the lion, and the leopard. So that's the big five.
The big five. Get that?
Pete, how much time do we have? Then I'll tell you a little bit about Marty, my wife's favorite animal, the elephant. Yep. A little bit. How much time do we have? Then I know what to.
15 minutes. 16 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the elephant.
Yep.
Elephant is the most gentlest, loveliest animal. At the same time, can be very dangerous. We had very lovely experiences with elephants. One elephant once put his trunk through our roof put-up tent, and he smelled my wife's face and pulled out and walked off.
Well.
So we love the elephant.
Yep.
Now, let me give you a little bit of background or a little bit of information on the elephant. The elephant, let's start with the feet. The feet is amazing because elephant loves mud baths and swimming and water very much because they like to get cool.
Yeah.
And the mud is to keep all the ticks and things off. So if they walk through mud, they can go sink into the mud almost to their tummy.
Yeah.
And they would have just get stuck. But the feet is wonderfully made. When it puts it on the mud, it opens up and it makes a big hole.
Yeah.
When he lifts it up, the foot sort of retracts, and it's small, and it lifts out very easy. That's how they can walk through quite deep mud.
Yeah.
The elephant has a tail in the front and a tail in the back. The back tail, the back tail doesn't serve a very big purpose. Just keeping the flies and things away. But if you go to the trunk, that is where the beauty of the elephant sits, because the trunk is really part of the upper lip and the nose. And under the trunk is the mouth. Now, an elephant drinks a lot of water. An elephant can drink up to 120 liters of water a day. In two or three sessions, depends where they are. Now, the trunk is about 2 meters long, but it takes 11 liters of water at a time. So he will suck up 11 liters, put the trunk in the mouth, and then blow the water into the mouth, going to the tummy of the elephant. Now, that is about 100 to 120, 130 liters a day. But the surprising thing was that the elephant urine is only about 50 liters a day. So they started to wonder what happens with the other 50, 60 liters of water that he takes in every day.
Yeah.
And then they discovered that the elephant loses about 5 liters of water an hour through his skin.
Oh, right.
The skin is 2 to 3 to 4 centimeters thick, and very hard. Feels like an old tree trunk, and that water comes then through the skin. He hasn't got sweat glands, but it comes through the skin and keep the skin subtle.
Right,
and that is how they survive the heat. The elephant eats 80% of the day.
Yeah.
He sleeps 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
They sleep a little bit more or a little bit longer if they have little ones with them.
Yeah.
But if not many little ones, they walk about 25 kilometers and they eat for 80% of the time of the day. And then just that little rest. Now, this is the very interesting thing. The elephant has a very small tummy and he eats all this food. So the digestion process in the elephant is not very good because only 30 to 40% of the food digest. The rest of the food will lie in the tummy and ferment.
Oh.
And when the elephant have his pass out, the dung, usually there's 3 to 4 balls that falls out.
Yeah.
The first ball is the dung. It's the messy, the smelly part, the first ball that falls out.
Yeah.
Now, that is a good thing for the scorpions, for the lot of little animals and beavers and mites that goes in that ball.
Yeah.
The next ball that fall is about 40% digested. And the next one may be 20 or 15, depends on what they eat. Because the elephant eats everything. You know, he eats roots, he eats herbs, he eats fruits, he eats bark, he eats leaves. So it's a very big combination in the tummy. And the dung of an elephant per year is 40 ton.
Wow.
Per elephant. Now, you will think there's dung everywhere if there's so much dung in the field, but you don't see elephant dung too much because the honey badger is the first one that will come after about a week, and he will scratch in the dung looking for the scorpions and the mites and the things. And as soon as he leaves, the hornbill, and there's quite a few of these birds that will come, because you can get up to 6,000 seeds of trees in one bowl of elephant dung.
Right.
So the birds love it.
Because, I mean, elephants are vegetarian, right?
They're vegetarian.
So, I mean, like, is there a lot of grass and things all in the national park?
Yes, but they're a little bit heavy on trees because they push the trees over. Now, there's two reasons for that. The first reason is they can't get to the top, and the second one is they push it over for the little ones to eat.
Yeah,
the third reason is they like to eat the roots.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you did say that.
An elephant is either left-handed or right-handed.
How can it be that when they've only got one trunk?
No, that's the teeth.
Oh.
The elephant teeth can weigh up to 120 kilograms. They can get about 2 meters long and about a meter in the mouth, almost 3 meters together. And the one tooth, that's how you know it's either left-handed or right-handed, is the one tooth that he uses the most is sometimes shorter or most of the time shorter than the other one.
Right.
Then you know the left teeth is left-handed. Right teeth is right-handed. Now, the teeth is used to take the bark off the trees. They love the bark of a tree. And sometimes they take too much and the tree die.
Yeah.
They love the baobab tree very much. You will see them all over scratches, but the baobab tree has cells in and it doesn't die so easy. So luckily, if they take the baobab, it won't really die.
Yeah.
So the dung of the elephant is really very productive in the wild, because when they scratch it all open and all the seeds and things coming out of it, it's a very good fertilizer, because yep. it's really just digested in the tummy, and when the rain comes, you know, it just fertilizes the field. The elephant dung is also important for the people up in Tanzania. Let me tell you a little bit about that. In Tanzania, in the time of COVID, there was a tribe in the northern side of Tanzania, which we visited last year, and they told us that not one person in that whole village died of COVID. No one had any vaccination, because there's no doctors, you know, where we went right in the bush, it's a tribe, there's no doctors, no hospitals. They have to have remedies in the bush.
Yeah.
And the elephant dung, it sounds terrible, but it's not. It's one of the best medicine.
Right.
Now, why will that be? Because the elephant eat trunk, he eat bark, he eat leaves, he eat herbs, he eat all these things.
So it's quite diverse diet.
Very diverse.
Yeah.
And when the third ball, I wish I could show you the slideshow, the first ball is bad, but the second and third is almost just grass. So they take that and they squeeze the juice out of the elephant dung.
Yeah.
And that is their medicine.
Well,
now, in the area, they found two things. The one is the baobab tree. If our listeners Google baobab powder, they will see the effects of baobab powder on your health.
Yeah.
Now, he eats the baobabs. They ferment in the tummy.
Yeah.
And then that fermentation of that baobab, they squeeze it out and they drink it. Then in this area is also the acacia thorn tree. About 6 millimeters long, the thorn tree, with a little ball. And this tree is only eaten by the elephant and the giraffe. The giraffe has a long tongue, so he can get past all those thorns and take the bark off that tree and the leaves.
Yeah.
And they say that the remedy in that tree is really the one now that helped them through COVID. Now, the elephant eats the whole thing. It's amazing. He will take that 6-inch and he will break it off and he will eat it. So you will have these thick thorns in his dung.
Yeah.
But it is the baobab and the leaves of this tree, they reckon, which I squeezed out and drank during this time, that really saved them.
Wow.
So if you're in the bush and you are very tired and there's no water, you look for elephant dung. You look for the third ball, squeeze it out and drink it. It sounds terrible, but it's not. If you take it in your hand and you smell it, it is fermented grass. I won't do that with the first ball. That's a bit different. But the second and third is really very good. Now, they also found, if our listeners will Google this, they found in the elephant dung, they found the black coffee bean. That's the most expensive coffee in the world. It can go up to $500 a kilogram, $35 a cup.
Right.
American dollars.
Yeah.
And our listeners can Google that black bean coffee from the elephant.
Wow.
And they're now making black bean beer. So there's quite a lot of use of the elephant in the bush. And it's an amazing, amazing, amazing elephant or amazing animal. Do we still have a minute or two?
Yeah, we have 4 minutes.
Four, okay, quickly.
3.5 minutes.
The elephant, back of the head by the ears, is very thin. It's not a 3 millimeter skin, but very thin with all the arteries. Now, you will always see an elephant flaps his ears.
Yeah.
That is to keep him cool. Behind the neck, where the thin skin is and the blood, the veins going through, it keeps him cool. So that is also a cooling mechanism. I won't have time to talk about a charge and a false charge and a dance and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the elephant has tremendous memory. Tremendous memory.
Yeah.
I've got a Unimog truck, which I built in a camper van. And certain parts in Kruger Park, if they hear my truck, they run. And we didn't know why. And then I investigated and I find out in those areas they used Unimox to cull them.
Oh.
And right, that's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And still they remember the yeah. sound of a Unimog truck.
Well.
So they've got tremendous hearing and a tremendous memory. I don't know if you heard about the elephant whisperer that tamed all the animal herds. And when he died, a day later, two big herds of elephant came back to his home, walk around the home and leave again, as if they knew that he died.
Yeah, well.
Also, we found they have electric fencing. All other animals will try the fence, and if it shocks them, they won't go again. But elephant doesn't try it.
Mm.
Now, we're not sure if it's the vibration, but at this stage, I think it's the hearing. He could hear the currency that goes through the electric fence.
Yeah, right.
Why I say that or why they say that is once it went down the power, the batteries failed, and a lot of elephants broke through the fences as if they know it is not there anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
In Botswana, we have the buffalo fence. Mm. There the elephant will put a tree on it so that the little ones can walk over.
Oh, so
the elephants are very clever animal. And, of course, in India, they use them for logging. In South Africa, you can ride the elephant. Very gentle, very beautiful animal. And that's why maybe it's my wife's. I can tell you another 100 stories about elephants.
Because do you still take tours? Through Kruger Park?
No. If anybody is interested, I would gladly help them to arrange their tour and tell them where to go. But when we bought our house in Kruger Park, we stopped taking tours because we did it for the love. We didn't really do it for money making.
Yeah.
So I am willing, if anybody contact you and they want to have more information, I spoke at the Probus Club. I spoke at the Garden Club all over Dunedin. And if anybody is interested, I will be more than happy to give advice and tell them what to do.
So we were talking about here Kruger Park and national parks in South Africa, and Henny used to take wildlife tours, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe. That was all the parks in that area. For 6 weeks we went.
So for our listeners that are interested, you can contact Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM and either contact them or go to our Facebook page to contact us on DMCC, Dunedin Multicultural Council. Well, it's a pleasure having you with us on this program. Thank you very much, Henny, for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
And hopefully in the near future when you get back, you can tell us the latest
on
what's happening in Kruger Park.
Peter, can I just say, if our listeners go into the net and they ask for Stoffel, the honey badger,
Stoffel.
That they can see how clever the honey badger is. And also Jessica the hippo, the only place in the world where you can kiss a hippo. So if they go on the net, look for Stoffel the honey badger and Jessica the hippo.
Thank you. Take care. And we'll see you next week on Dunedin Multicultural Council On Air.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.